See Me. See My Ability, the podcast of the ARC Southern Maryland. It's not every day that a teacher who works with individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities gets the American music industry's top prize from the Recording Academy and the Grammy Museum. And the 2024 Music Educator Award went to a Northern Virginia high school teacher named Annie Ray.
My name is Annie Ray, and I'm the Orchestra Director and Performing Arts Department Chair here at Annandale High School.
So did you grow up in Northern Virginia?
No, I am born and raised in the Northern Texas area, actually. And my husband's from Houston, and he won a job in Pershing's own United States Army Band. So that's why we moved on up here.
So it's a musical family.
Yeah, even my mom is a musician. My aunt is a musician. And so are all my cousins and my uncles. And that's what we do. Crescendo Orchestra, that's my orchestra for students with significant severe disabilities. It kind of grew out of a learning process where I had two twin brothers who were dropped into my general education orchestra class. And I just felt like they were just so checked out. I felt like I was failing them. I felt like I was truly failing them and not giving them the space that they needed to learn. And then one day I pulled them out after class and I was working with them and I was like, oh my gosh, he realized that he knows 100% what's going on in this class. He is digesting this information. It just is appearing different when there's like 30 other kids around him versus what I was doing. So it actually began in 2018, this whole like concept and thing that I was contemplating. It's really cool because my orchestra program is not actually unique to our school. There's a Best Buddies-esque style orchestra program called United Sound, which is a great way that people can start their own program, an after-school sort of Best Buddies plugging in sort of program. And same for Giving Bach is a very similar model to that. But to me, I really wanted them to be able to receive like a true quality music education, like actually learn how to play the instrument and give them that one-on-one instruction. So it all stemmed from those two twin boys who were in my classes. But even before then, I had in high school growing up and stuff, I would volunteer for Best Buddies or for different organizations.
So you were not afraid to dive in and figure out, well, how do these students think? And how can I understand them better so that I can actually accomplish something and help them feel like they're part of something big?
Yeah, because they do know when something is like quality and like when they're actually learning and being a part of those things. And when I was diving into all of this, it was during COVID, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and so, and I brought them down to the classroom and it was during this time of like so much like unstructure in the world. And it was this moment when it was all beginning. It was beautifully freeing for me as like as an artist, as like an educator, because there's no like pacing guide. There's no like expectation for the concert. And it was just became this moment of like, man, this is what music's actually about, like connecting and breathing together and just these like fundamental sounds. And so, man, I've been the luckiest person in the world to get to teach them because they restructured everything about the way that I teach. So it's been like the greatest honor of my life.
What do you mean by restructured everything?
Well, so it's interesting because the media is telling like one story about my Grammy win, which they've really latched on to the Crescendo Orchestra part of things, which is beautiful. Like, oh my gosh, they deserve every spotlight in the world and to shine. And I often use the stories that I've learned through there to tell a bigger story, which is the reason I won the Grammy was a different reason, was a bigger reason, and what it means to meet every student where they're at. So in Crescendo, it just kind of like really articulates that beautifully of me getting to work with each student one-on-one and adjusting things for them. But then you look at the bigger Annandale picture. Like Annandale, 3 years ago, I was just recently told this, so I'm not sure if it's 100% factual, but we were ranked the number one most diverse school in America. And we have over 66 countries represented here, 59 different languages. And with that comes so many different backgrounds and perspectives. I have students who are refugees, students who just immigrated themselves, their parents may, students whose parents just immigrated, students have been here forever. And we have this huge range of backgrounds and cultures. And so when I'm approaching music education, I have to change that. I have to change what responds, like each student responds to. And it stemmed from me coming from a very like classically trained background to then restructuring where my classroom looks a little bit different. And it all comes from what the Crescendo Orchestra students taught me.
They all have a common language now. No matter what their communications abilities or disabilities, if you will, are, they now have a common language. Mm-hmm. And you kind of got them to dig that. Did any of the students, since you are a high school teacher, come in with any musical background to begin with?
One this year. He plays piano also. But most of them, no. Most of them have never had music experience other than maybe like they were in their general music classes in elementary school. But I'm not really sure like all of their specific backgrounds and exposure to music. It definitely, when I'm going through it with them, it definitely appears to be new knowledge to them. And maybe it's also because they might have had a musical background, but my expectation for them is like, we really are going to learn how to read these notes. We are going to really learn that a quarter note means one beat, and we're going to learn what a beat actually means and like what that feels. And it, again, it's been like so freeing, but also so good for my other classes where we just kind of assume that a student is going to understand like what is a beat, like, because it's so fundamental to us. But to explain what is actually like a very abstract concept to a student with significant severe disabilities, and then realizing like, oh, the concept of a beat might sound a little bit different or feel a little bit different to a student from like, I have a student, for example, from like Afghanistan. And she is she's a refugee, and she has been one of the greatest joys to teach. And she and I were talking about like how in her culture's music, like a sense of a pulse or like rhythms that are innate to her are very different than like Western music notation and things. And so I've been going through this whole system of where people always are like, oh, well, that's great, because like music's the universal language. I'm like, well, it's not actually. The act of making music is what's the universal language. Because countries like Japan have a different tonal system or a different like scale, or again, like different Arabic cultures might have a different scale, but we all are human and we all can understand the sacrifice it takes to play those notes and feel that. And that's what's been so connecting with Crescendo.
Wow. So you find that people are suddenly one cohesive team. How has that affected you, seeing that this team, they all have to be there to make a full-bodied sound? How do they support each other in the Crescendo Orchestra?
Well, that's the coolest thing, right? Like, to have these students, like, they start and they end the piece and they played every note together for the first time, and the excitement that they feel because they know, they absolutely 100% know, because despite anybody being like, oh, I don't have a musical bone in our body, that's like fundamentally untrue. It is the most human thing about us is actually music. We all know our nursery rhymes, right? We all can experience that. We all pin tap to like a song or stomp our foot. Like, we all have our musical ability. And they do too. And so they feel that in that moment. And it's been this thing, like, for example, like I'm having a process right now where I have one student, he's playing bass and in Crescendo. And we just switched him to it because I realized macro movements with a larger instrument are going to be easier for him to access than micro movements, even with just a cello. And so he was over there, and he's always had like one of our instructional assistants like bowing along with him to give him the right to playing with us. And then I walked over one day and I said, it was like, okay, I'm just gonna actually hold his elbow to the different heights to get to the access of different strings and see what he can do. And suddenly he was like bowing exactly along with everyone else. I'm like, oh, it's not a matter of him not being able to articulate the pulse. It's a strength issue with the elbow. And so it's just been this like great thing where I get to like sit with each student and be like, how are we gonna access the music together? How are we going to get there together? What does that look like for you? Yeah, it's really cool.
The first time you made something come together, can you describe that experience, the first time you heard this beautiful stuff coming out of your students who had never done this before?
It's pure joy. Like the biggest, for lack of a better word, like high I get in like teaching is like watching things connect for my students, like for the first time. And the energy that they give off to me just creates this huge feedback loop where I get more excited and then they get more excited and I get more excited. And it's that way with like my gen ed kids or like with my students in Crescendo. And I'll see them, I'm like, yes, okay, we did it. Okay, let's try something else now. Let's like do this next step. Okay, let's push the boundary even further. And because I think that's one of the strengths I've realized with things is like, let's meet these kids where they're at, but let's pull them along like way further than they ever thought that they were gonna be able to get. And it's not a matter of skipping steps. It's a slow process. And I think that's why I say this in my TED talk, but I say this is like, I think that's why a lot of students really struggle with identifying as being a musician. It's because it just has so much more time and process to it that happens over like so much longer that people don't realize like how good they're getting or how they're able to express themselves. Sports are a lot of the, and can be really similar in that sense, but there's always like another game. Like there's tons of games, right? For us, like the process from new music to a concert is months. And it's the slow process that takes so much maturity to like learn and breathe through and get to those different processes. But these students who are in Crescendo and with me, they are musicians. They are musicians fully in themselves. They are expressing themselves. They're feeling the same sacrifice and the same humbleness it takes to play each note and wait for the rest to finish and go into the next note together, just like all of my general education students, just like people like Yo-Yo Ma and Hilary Hahn do. Like, they're all musicians.
Much thanks to the Annandale High School Crescendo Orchestra and their teacher and leader, Annie Ray, for the music you've been hearing in the background. For the first time ever, we'll very soon release a bonus episode, more of my conversation with Annandale High School music teacher and department head, Annie Ray. She'll be talking about the Parents Orchestra and explain the Suzuki method of teaching music to children as their parents learn how to play the same instruments they're learning to play. As always, we appreciate any reviews you leave us on Podbean and other podcast applications. And any comments you have, we welcome you to send them to us at info@arcsomd.org. I'm Rita Rich.